coming from TV, I'm used to you could only go as far as the signal went. Signal went an hour this way, this way, this way, this way. We don't have that constraint. It's like, yeah, we can absolutely help.
Welcome to the Earfluence Podcast, where we learn how to amplify brands and businesses through B2B marketing. I'm Jason Gillikin, CEO of Earfluence, and with me today is president of iHeartRadio Raleigh, Michael Berger. How's it going, Michael?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me.
For sure. I'm so excited to talk to you. We've gotten to know each other a little bit over the past couple of years here. You were the SVP of iHeart Raleigh. You've risen to president of iHeart Raleigh. How did you get into radio?
Well, I mean, it's funny. So I started off my professional career in television and pivoted over to radio through some recruitment and some people asking me to come over there and lead some teams. And, you know, honestly, for me, it was like, what's the next step in my career? And I always tell the story. People say, do you miss television? Do you miss that? And my response is no. I mean, the creativity that we have on the audio and the radio side to create events, to create podcasts, to create moments, it's cool. It's something I really, really, really enjoy. And so when people ask, do you miss TV, like with that transition? Absolutely not. Like, I'm very happy where I am. So it's been a pleasant surprise moving here, you know, as the senior vice president of sales, moving to president, you know, about 8-9 months ago. But it's been incredible. And the team we have has been phenomenal in helping us get to where we are.
Yeah, that's awesome. So talk about the iHeart model. From what I understand, it's a bunch of radio channels locally, but you have a podcast network as well. And so are you selling ads on all of those things? Like, what is the model?
Yeah, and I think the model's kind of evolved. So, you know, to paint kind of a picture, our CEO, and I think I've told you this before off the record, but our CEO, Bob Pittman, was the CEO of MTV when MTV was the only way you could watch Michael Jackson Thriller.
Yeah.
And then he became an executive with AOL when that was the only way you could get online. And then became an executive for Six Flags. And I think through all those things, he's kind of set the tempo of how do you evolve as a company. And one of the things we traditionally were up until 2009, 2010, was a traditional radio broadcast company. Mm-hmm. Through some acquisitions and some purchases, we got up to having over 850 radio stations across the company. Across the country. And I mean, at that point, we're reaching over 260 million people every single month. It's a reach medium.
Yeah,
I think what we figured out is there as media continues to evolve, how do we evolve and stay ahead of that? And that's where podcasts come in. That's where events come in. That's where targeted digital marketing and finding a way to help brands really tell their story comes in. So when you say, do we sell advertising? Yeah. On our five local stations here and our 860 across the country, but it's really evolved, you know, where we are and how we stay ahead of that. And the big thing for us is just how can we help people tell their story a little bit better?
Yeah. So how do you do that? Let's say a brand is listening to this and a brand comes to you and says, I want to be a part of iHeartRadio channels, or really, I need to tell my story better. And can you amplify that? How do you start that conversation?
Yeah. Well, and I think the thing we've realized over the past couple of years is there have been some changes in how branding and marketing works.
Yeah.
Especially during the pandemic. Prior to the pandemic, really, most fashion, most culture was driven through Hollywood, through Wall Street, through Madison Avenue, through Silicon Valley. And all of it kind of disseminated into the middle of the world. Well, when that changed, 65% of people don't live in those major coastal markets anymore.
Yeah.
They were able to move and be influencers in all these different places. So it really changed and revolutionized how we can tell that story. And I think helping a company understand their brand starts with the fact of understanding where that company really is. They have social influencers who can share their message as well. But I think some of the times, for so long, marketers in general focused on these moments that were surrounding our life in Silicon Valley, in New York, in San Francisco, in LA, and missed what the normal person was going through. I mean, when you look at it, there are 5 million people in the world who play pickleball. Mm-hmm. And that's like, or in the United States. And that's, oh, everybody's playing pickleball. That's the feeling. Uh-huh. Well, there's over 15 million people with hunting licenses. Uh-huh. Like, when you look at the show, do you watch Succession?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Succession, one of my favorite shows. Everybody's talking about it now. It has one more episode left. I won't give any spoiler alerts, but 2 million people watch that show at its peak. But you look at some of the NCIS shows on CBS, they have 10 million every single week that tune in. So there's a perception
of
what
talks about that.
Right. That's my point. There's a perception of what is real.
Yeah.
And what actually is real. And we're finding out with marketing, there's a big gap in between those things. You know, 30% of all media consumption is audio.
Yeah.
When you look at that from an advertising standpoint across all of the United States, less than 9% of marketing dollars are attributed to audio.
No way.
There's a huge gap there. And for us, it's helping people understand where is an impactful way to you share your message from a creative standpoint. What are you saying to set yourself apart? What is the next Just Do It? How do you cultivate and create that culture that you can share with people easily?
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So it sounds like when businesses come to you, it's not just about, all right, well, I'm going to sell you an ad on this radio channel. I'm going to sell you an ad on this podcast spot. You are truly consulting with them on what their messaging is and what it should be.
Yeah. And I think that's our hope with anybody. And yeah. I think one of the things is we have kind of pivoted what we've done as a company from being very, very product focused.
Yeah.
To being very client-centric. Huh. What do they need and how do we help? And that switch has been very impactful because not only do you understand where they're trying to get, but you've got skin in the game.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, what is your goal for this campaign? Okay, let's start with that. Then let's work backwards to figure out how does that make sense and what makes sense. It's no longer, okay, we've got 5 radio stations or we have 860 radio stations. We've got to sell spots there. If that makes sense, absolutely. And a lot of times it does as a broadcast reach medium. But there's also times where it's, hey, listen, we should do a custom event. We should create a podcast for you and help people understand what that story is.
That's awesome. Yeah. So it becomes much more about the actual consultative process or, you know, pain-based selling rather than like the service or product that you're offering. Like you're truly understanding what they need.
Well, and I think from our standpoint, one of the other flips we've had is when we celebrate successes, it used to be from a revenue standpoint, we got this brand new client who's going to spend these millions of dollars with us. Now our success is we were able to help them accomplish that.
Yeah.
And just that it seems like a small pivot, but by doing that, it shows people you're engaged. And that's the Nikes of the world. That's the Procter & Gambles of the world. That's the T-Mobiles of the world. That is also the local businesses here who don't have a $17 million marketing budget. But they need help as well. And so the ability that we're local helps us with that, but we can also have regional and national conversations as well.
Yeah. All right. So how do local businesses start to engage with you? I know the consulting side, and I know you'll sit down with them and see like, okay, what is your brand and all that. But then, you know, what comes next? I mean, you've got these 5 different radio channels. Do some businesses want to be on those, like on the air for segments? Do some just want ads? Like, how does that all work?
Yeah, and I think that all boils down to, again, what are they trying to achieve? Because there are times where we can ingrain you in some of the programming we're doing? Absolutely. The important part, I think, is figuring out how can we say what you want to say in the most concise way possible? And I think the traditional format of radio was you have to have a 60-second spot so you can say everything 5 different times. What we're realizing is that people's attention span is dramatically different. To compare the attention span of somebody now, the average digital video ad gets 1.7 seconds of attention. Hmm. 1.7 seconds. So how do you cut through the clutter? And how do you tell a story that quickly when the TikTok of the world have taught you just to, oh, next, that's not me, moving on.
Yeah.
So being very strategic. Also, the YouTubes of the world have said, hey, listen, the first 5 seconds of the ad are going to determine if you skip it or if you go on. You know, one of the cool things for us when we talk about that and how that attention span has died, one of the things that's helped us so dramatically is that we were the original social influencers with our DJs and our talents.
Yeah.
We were the original people saying, hey, you should go check this place out and here's why. And so that's helped us tremendously because what we found is that I believe the statistic is 80% of people say trust is the most important thing when it comes to a purchase. Consumers in America, 80% trust is most important. Conversely, 34% of people say they actually trust the brands they buy from. So there's a big gap there. How do you tell that story? How do you create trust? And then how do you create a product that they can continue to trust down the line? So, you know, that's part of our journey as well, walking them through that and saying, hey, listen, let's ask some questions. Let's have a conversation. Let's figure out where you're trying to go. And then how do we help you get there?
So how do businesses, brands filter through that 1.7 seconds and get the consumer's attention in that short
time? Well, I think it's a funny point because it's tough. It's not easy. It's not easy. I think in the past, one of the things you saw a lot of from mass media was saying things that don't resonate anymore. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I've shared this with you, but you used to hear commercials all the time of, you know, give us a call. We have great prices and good customer service and friendly staff. That doesn't resonate with people anymore. That everybody expects that now. Yeah. That's not a, oh my gosh, they have good customer service.
Interesting.
They expect that. Yeah, how does that change? So, you know, that's one of the things, finding a way you can emotionally get somebody to engage in your brand. And also people's acceptance of brands has changed drastically. Mm-hmm. Most people want brands to be an extension of themselves. Mm-hmm. They want to feel like Nike is an extension of myself. They want to feel like Chick-fil-A has similar beliefs as me. Yeah. You see it all over, good or bad. And so I think that's the important part too, is helping these local businesses that don't have a CMO and they don't have an entire marketing department and 7 agencies who are making these decisions. How can we use the expertise we're gaining from those people and help them have those conversations?
Yeah. So you mentioned some of these companies don't have CMOs. Yeah. I mean, my sense is that iHeart works with bigger companies like an IBM, let's say. And I think that is one of your clients. But what you were telling me offline is that you're really focusing on working with the smaller companies as well.
I mean, it's such a fun part for us. And I say this, it's so fun for me when you're dealing with somebody who has a limited marketing budget, but you know everything you do.
Yeah.
Their success hinges on you. Whereas with the Nikes and the Procter & Gambles and the T-Mobiles of the world, we are very involved in their success, but they've got 10, 15 partners who are playing a part in that. Mm-hmm. So for me, that fun part is filling that gap. And one of the things we've kind of taught our teams to do is fill that gap. Lead with ideas. You know, for me, again, transitioning from that product-based selling or model, lead with ideas. If you've taken a great idea, people are like, oh, man. I never thought about that because I don't think creatively. I'm thinking about the P&L of my business. I'm thinking about how do we keep the electricity on? I'm thinking about how do I get that new location? You're coming in and offering me something that is unique and different and exciting. And that's that, the math part of it and then the creative part of it. That's what makes it fun for me because I love both sides of that.
Yeah, that's so cool. I did that same thing this morning where somebody was wondering about a podcast concept. And instead of talking about, well, we can do this, and this, it's like, well, let's brainstorm on this podcast concept. Like, how can we make this work? Who's the right audience? What are the goals for this? And it's that consultative approach. And all of a sudden, I'm engaged and interested in what this person is doing instead of rattling off, yeah, we do full service podcast production. Yeah, we'll do the marketing for you. Yeah, we'll do this. That becomes boring.
Yeah.
But the brainstorming part of it and how to make a podcast great is what's exciting.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what you're doing too.
Yeah. I mean, that's the fun part for us. And then, you know, honestly, one of the other benefits of our company is that we have scale. Mm. You know, when you look at one of the most important things outside of telling that story and crafting what that's going to be is finding the right audience to share that with.
Yeah.
The fact that we have the reach we have allows us to hone in and find the right audience, which help. You know, when you look at some of the competitors in our space, they are built on a model of a subscriber base, but that eliminates advertising.
Right.
So it decreases their numbers drastically, where we've kind of flipped that and we do it where that is not our focus.
Yeah.
And so we have one of the largest addressable audiences anywhere. And that's why podcasting was so big for us. It was the extension of that storytelling. It is organic. It is niche. It is fun. It is, and I know I'm preaching to the choir because this is what you do every single day, but it has been our biggest growth lever by far.
Yeah.
Not only on a local and regional level, but on a national level as well.
Yeah. So tell the audience about this because most people, when they think of podcast networks, they think of Wondery or Ringer or Gimlet maybe. Yeah. But iHeart has something like, I don't even know, it's hundreds, if not thousands of podcasts.
Yeah. We have well over 1,000 podcasts. Jeez. We have 364 million downloads every single month of our podcast. It's expansive and it's growing day by day. It's so great because from a fun standpoint, it's great content. It's entertaining. My wife over the past few months has become a podcast nut. Mm-hmm. I mean, she has her podcast that she listens to. Every time she has a chance, she's popping the earphones in and she's listening. It's fun to see somebody come into a new medium that traditionally hasn't been there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's also fun to see where people resonate and what stories they like to hear.
Right.
And so, you know, she leans far more to the true crime and the legal aspect of it and inspecting these crimes, where I'm sports and comedy and and business and things of that nature. So, but there's something for everybody. We have over 1,000 podcasts. So for us, it's just finding, from a marketing standpoint, we can break it down into psychographics. If you're trying to reach a certain customer, we can tell you, you need to use these 30 different podcasts in order to do that. And here's the best way to do that. But again, it's an explosion and it's exciting.
Well, let's break that down even more because let's say a local business is interested in advertising on podcasts, but you've got over 1,000 national podcasts, right? Like, can they, we'll talk about narrowing it down. Like, if they don't, and somebody in Raleigh can't service a client in San Francisco, let's say.
Right.
Can you narrow it down to just Raleigh or the Triangle?
Yeah. Well, and the great part for us is, you know, we have 164 million people who utilize iHeartRadio, our app, every single day, which is the extension of all of our brands.
164 million.
164 million people who use it every single month. So now when you look at that, again, that scale with digital lay over the top of it. So we can see information about them and make good marketing decisions. But, you know, for us, podcasting has become the Wild West, the next frontier. and yes, we can handle somebody locally. Hey, listen, I want to create a podcast. I just want to do it locally. It's a passion project for me. Can I do that? Yeah, we can help you make that.
Yeah.
It's, hey, I just want to advertise regionally because San Francisco doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we can do that. I want to do it regionally. Yeah, we can do that. I want to just focus on these five markets. Yeah, we can do it. I want to launch a national brand and I want to have a host read ad by Mario Lopez. Now I'm showing my age from Saved by the Bell, but we want Mario Lopez to voice your ad, or Ryan Seacrest or Steve Harvey or Bobby Bones or you know, Dan Patrick, all of these huge personalities that have podcasts with us. We can really do it all. And that's the fun part. Coming from TV, I'm used to you could only go as far as the signal went. Signal went an hour this way, this way, this way, this way. Well, can you help me? Well, no, you're outside my signal. You need to find another television station.
Yeah.
We don't have that constraint. It's like, yeah, we can absolutely help.
Right. But it can be geo-targeted.
100%.
Yeah, that's awesome.
100%.
So there's a chance that what are some of the biggest podcasts on at iHeart?
Well, I mean, you know, I'll throw out some of the names. So we have Revisionist History with Malcolm Gladwell, and he has several podcasts underneath his slate. We have The Black Effect, which is Charlemagne, who has launched his entire podcast. We do all the podcasts for the NBA. We do all the podcasts for the NFL. We have Chelsea Handler. We have Katie Kirk. We have Hillary and Chelsea Clinton. We have Colin Cowherd. Like, the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
And it's funny because you and I were talking about, we're building out our own custom studio here to create podcasts locally. And so that was one of my projects. Like, which canvases do I want to show in this new podcast studio? Which ones best represent us across the board? And it's hard to take over 1,000 podcasts and be like, these are the 12 that I'm going to put on the wall to show them what they're doing. But, you know, it's there's a lot.
That's cool. So like a Highwoods in Raleigh could advertise on the Chelsea Handler show, even though it's like a national show.
Yeah. And, and there's two different ways to do it too. You can do voice read or host read, or you can do just a generic read one that we can do as well. But you know, we can work through all those details, but it's cool. I mean, it's so exciting for us, like in our sales team that they can call somebody like, hey, I've got an idea. Like, you heard of Katie Kirk, like she wants to voice some stuff for you. Like they're like, oh my gosh, like we need to talk about that. It's fun. It's like, but then at the same time, we have, you know, the Nick Jordans and the Erica DeLongs and all of these big personalities we have here locally on our local stations that are also creating just amazing content that people have the opportunity to sponsor as well.
Yeah. And those people are influencers in their own right. Like 100%. You said, they're the original influencers. It's true. Yeah. They've got their own social media channels.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, if they're supporters of certain brands, that carries a heavy weight.
Yeah.
Talk about some success stories of, you know, local brands that have contacted iHeart and, you know, been.
Yeah. I mean, it's so hard to list all of the successes we've had. What I will say is we've had a lot of success in a couple different industries, without giving any trade secrets away. We've had a lot of success with automotive, with education. We've had a lot of success with healthcare. And really one of our big focuses recently, and we're starting to get a lot of traction, is working with emerging brands who, you know, are going through a VC type situation, or they're trying to get their Series A, or they have seed funding, and maybe they have a small team and they have a great idea, but they don't know how to get to that next step. Not only we can provide creative ways to share that based on whatever their budget may be, but we can help walk them through that. Hey, here's what we've seen from some other people. And so that's kind of been the expansion. One of the things we're focusing on, here locally. And so it's been really exciting to see the team engage in that and learn more and dive into that space. But, you know, we have a tremendous amount of great partners across Raleigh, you know, from all of the automotive companies that I mentioned to education, to, you know, healthcare have really been the big three. But again, like I said, it's so hard to determine those success stories. So I will, you know, Crabtree Valley Mall, everybody's been there.
Uh-huh.
You know, they partner with us year in and year out on different events. You know, as their model changes a little bit too, they have to be aggressive and kind of very creative ways to get people in, whether that's a job fair or a blood drive, right, or all of those things.
Pop-up shop.
Yeah. And you know, a success story I'll tell you is, you know, I think they anticipated, again, because our successes are their success. They anticipated, they wanted to have, I think, 1,000 appointments for Santa Claus. And we ran an entire campaign just to get people to register in advance. So when you show up, there's not a line of, you know, 400 mm-hmm. people. It's like, okay, I'm ready to go. Here's my time.
Yeah.
And by that, I think by the time we got done, the number I was told was close to 2,000. That's double, taking their expectations, which was a lofty number, yeah, and doubling it. And that's the stuff that's fun. Like, that's when people are like, oh my gosh, we did our job. This is great. Uh-huh. It's fun. So, you know, they're a great partner of ours and we were happy to help with them.
That's cool. Not every campaign is going to be a success because sometimes you...
It's never happened to us. We've never done a successful campaign.
But, you know, I imagine sometimes that you will advise people on what they should do and they'll put their money in other things.
Yeah.
What are some of the worst strategies that you've seen in working with clients that just doesn't work?
Well, and I think the most important thing when you're a partner, and I'll answer that in just a second, but I think the most important part of being a good partner is admitting when you do something well, but also admitting when you should have pivoted and done something else.
Uh-huh.
And I think a lot of our conversations now are based off of data and analytics on the back end.
Yeah.
It's no longer, hey, Mr. Advertiser, how did that campaign work? And you're like, I think it worked well. And you're like, okay, great. You want to do it again? It is, you said you need to have 1,000 people show up for Santa. By tracking your Google Analytics and looking at the data and some of the other pixels that we have tied in, we saw there were this many view-throughs and this many hear-throughs and this many people took these actions that you requested, which results in this kind of ROI for you. Mm-hmm. And having those conversations is incredibly impactful. But transitioning from that broadcast media of like, if enough people hear it, we know they're going to come through the door to, here's what you want to achieve, here's how we're going to track it, and being willing to say, hey, listen, We did a test. We did an ABC test. Mm. This creative did way better.
Yeah.
This one did all right. This one did not do well at all.
Yeah,
let's take that one out. Let's reallocate what we're doing to these. But going and having those conversations earns your clients respect because you're willing to say, listen, we killed it here. This did not do as well.
Yeah.
Let's fix that. I don't know if that answered your question.
Oh, it does. I mean, if you're doing split testing like that and you're learning how to fail and spending very little amount of money in failing, that's really smart.
Yeah.
If you can get to failing fast, like that's huge.
I mean, it absolutely is. And that's where when I talk about the math part of it, it is knowing what their key performance indicators are. What are their drivers and how do we measure those instead of just having that conversation after the fact? Did it work? Well, my mom saw it, so I guess it was successful. You're like, she told me she saw the commercial or heard it three times. You're like, I guess it worked. Let's do it again. Like that used to be the model. Like all my friends saw it, so I guess it's working. Well, did anybody new come through the door? Well, I don't know. Well,
right.
We don't know if that was a success or not. Then I'm glad your mom loved the spot though.
Well, yeah, talk more about tracking because sometimes that can be difficult when you've got this empirical evidence that my mom listened to it. But there are other ways to track, like 2,000 Santa Clauses, cool.
Yeah.
But you can't always measure it exactly what the return will be. So how do you talk to businesses about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the important part is through a lot of the processes we've set up is making sure that you're pointed in the right direction. The analytics that we're using are set up specifically to figure out where you want to go. Now, with podcasting in general, that has been an area that's been amazing for us, not only from an explosion, but how we can track it,
mm-hmm.
how we can set up the pixels where we can tell if you listen to it on your phone, then you made a visit to the website. How did that work? The specific things we're looking at, like I mentioned earlier, are the specific events. What does an event look like for you? Mm-hmm. Was the event to have 1,000 people register to see Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Was the event that you needed 47 new people to walk into your car dealership because you know you're going to close 30% of those people and you netted this amount of from this advertising campaign.
Yeah.
And so it is difficult especially when you're dealing with, oftentimes you will have advertisers that base their decisions around what they like. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of goes back to the perception of, is succession as big as what they say it is? Or is it just that's what you're hearing people talk about? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people surround themselves with things that they like, but isn't necessarily what their customer listens to or what they engage in or what their consumer journey is. Yeah. And so helping people find that as well and get them out of, well, this is what I listen to. So everybody, all my clients listen to that. You're like, no, they don't. Right. And here's the macro picture of that. But I think if you can get somebody out of that way of looking at things, it is impactful. And it's not easy. It's not easy when somebody says, I want to see myself, go back to my TV days. I want to see myself in the Lakers game. Mm-hmm. You're like, I want to see my spot. Because I'm going to be watching it. And that makes me feel like my advertising is working.
There's
a trust factor that comes with it. And that's why the analytics is so important, that you can come back and tell the story of what happened.
Yeah.
And you're more essentially a marketing firm than you are a vendor partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Last question from me. As you have evolved from SVP to president of iHeart, and there's people listening to this, people watching this that are founders of companies that need to take on that leadership role. What's been your hardest transition from seeking sales out specifically to now being the leader of this entire division?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the big thing is getting a balance between long-term strategy and now execution.
Yeah.
Things that we need to accomplish now and things that we want to be in a better position in a year. And finding that happy balance. And then, and for me, the toughest thing has been I've always been a hands-on person. Mm-hmm. So saying, hey, I have this person in this role and you're phenomenal, go do it. Uh-huh. That's been one of the big changes. And it's something that every day I find myself writing myself a note like, they're good at what they do. Like, let them go do it. I mean, I will only be as successful, iHeart will only be as successful as the strength of our team. And I know that sounds cliche. It comes from my sports background. We'll give 110%. We're gonna take it game by game. All of those cliches. But to me, our team is what makes us successful. And I've been very blessed to come into a situation where we have an incredible team who works incredibly hard and incredibly smart to put us in a situation to have success.
That's awesome. Well, how can our listeners, how can our viewers connect with you if they're interested in working with iHeart or if they're interested in working with your team?
Absolutely. Bat signal, fax machines, smoke signals, all work. You can email me at michaelberger@iheartmedia.com. And you can certainly connect there if there's anything I can help people with, and I can put you in touch with the right members of our team who can take care of you.
Awesome. All right, Michael, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Happy to be here, man. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching the Earfluence podcast. I'm Jason Gillikin, CEO of Earfluence. And if you're interested in full service podcast production, head on over to earfluence.com. And we'll see you next time on the Earfluence podcast.